morning. Welcome to Humanity Beats Business, Business Therapy with Christine Salvo. Today I have an amazing guest, Valkyria Whitlock. She was born in Magic Valley, Idaho and graduated from Filer High School. At the age of 20, she left the United States for the first time to live in Fiji. She has since lived in and traveled to over 29 different countries and just completed her first poetry book, I Love What I've Forgotten. It is a celebration of life in all of its entirety. Her personal mission is to bring more joy to the world as a practice of gratitude. As a meditation teacher certified in yoga nidra with her 200-hour class, Valkyria has served as a yoga instructor stewardess on world traveling yachts over the past 7 years. She has learned many habits and ways of thinking from the world's 1% and believes she can help others achieve peace of mind and healing through meditation. Amidst launching her first book, she is launching an application to help people connect with events and also started a nonprofit organization to help students ages 12 to 18 learn how to meditate with virtual reality. She believes peace in the world will be achieved first when we reach peace within, and meditation helps us to do so. She truly believes anything is possible, especially world peace. Oh, such a great introduction. I am so excited to have you here. And I'm like, wow, 29 countries, doing this on a yacht. I want to know everything. So let's kind of start. So you grow up in this valley, which actually has a really cool name, Magic Valley. I want to go there now. But you grew up in Magic Valley, Idaho, and then you just like leave home on almost this like what comes to my mind is the Lord of the Rings. Like I'm on this quest to go to Fiji, and then I end up traveling the world. So I have to know more. Like who, what, when, and how.
Yeah. So I guess because I'm speaking about meditation and stuff, we'll start with that. So I was in college, I was at Boise State, and I was depressed. I was a mentor for college freshmen. I was telling them to follow their dreams, and I didn't know what that meant for myself. And I was doing all the right things, you know, I was working out, I was eating right, I was going to counseling, and I still could not figure out why I was so depressed. And I was suggested to start meditation and mindfulness, which is where I started observing my thoughts and spending a certain amount of time in the day to meditate. And what that looks like for me at the time, just beginning without any help, was sitting outside with my eyes open and actually focusing on the word beautiful. So that's really what meditation is, right? It's teaching you to focus. It's building a relationship with your mind. And I started with that word because I felt like even if my mind would wander in a certain direction, mm-hmm. I could spin it back to beautiful, because I'd be like, oh, look at the sky. The sky is beautiful. And you can spell it out, B-E-A-U, just different ways that I was helping my mind, which was very overactive, to focus, to chill, you know? And yeah, that whole practice, it opened up my creativity. And I started writing again, like I had done when I was a child. And I wanted to write. I thought, this is what I want to do with my life. So I told my parents, and they were like, no. We had a difficult relationship at the time. And so I was like, well, what I'm going to do is just drop out. And I had no plan at the time. So I lived in the basement of a frat house. And one of my best friends, she actually called me and asked me what I was doing. And she was just finishing up at University of Hawaii. She was Fijian. So I decided to sell my car and move to Fiji. So I moved to Fiji with $50.
That's very brave.
Yeah, I had
I'm
no.
I'm just gonna move to a foreign country with no money.
Yeah, I had okay. No idea. No idea, and I did it. I've traveled so much now that I know that when you go to a country, you need to have a return ticket as well, which I did not have at the time. You need to have an address of where you're staying. You need to have so much money in your bank account, but I didn't have any of that. I show up to customs and they bring me into the back room And they're like, so you don't have a return ticket. You don't have an address of where you're staying. And I was like, no, I'm here just staying with one of my friends. And they ask me who my friend is. And it's, I tell the name Hosanna Cabacoro, and they go, oh, stamp my passport and let me through. Mm. Can you believe that? Wow. Yeah, it's just like such a small country where everybody knows everyone. And yeah, I got super lucky. And I also think that there was no doubt in my mind at that point that I was going to be in Fiji with Hosanna. So that's where that whole journey started. It was like taking this leap of faith and doing what they say, you know, go after the life that you imagine. And there I was in Fiji. So
wow, that's such a brave story. I mean, honestly, to have that journey at such a young age. And you know, sometimes we feel like the courage we have is when we're young, but everyone has their own personal timeline of that, right? So doing Absolutely. It when you're young can feel just as risky as doing it, you know, a few years down the road. But wow, like I can't even imagine the courage that it took. But then I'm also like, I'm picking up on a little like rebellion. Like I'm going to do it because you said I can't. I'm going to feed you $50 and see what happens. And so it's like a two-way street of like, yeah, yeah.
Oh, 100%. 100%. There's a rebel in me, right? Like I'm going to create the life. I can do it. I believe in myself and I'm going to. You said no, I said yes, you know.
Exactly. We're gonna see who wins this battle. And...
Oh yeah, my parents raised a really fiery child, that is for sure.
I love it. So you're in Fiji and then what happens? Like what was the insight? It sounds like that was really the catalyst to like, I love to travel. There's so much I have to see. Like maybe you can kind of bring me into that a little bit.
Oh yeah. It was a dream, truly. The first week I was there, my friend, she happened to be dating the prime minister's son, and she's a really incredible person. She actually won like Idaho Brightest Stars Award, and she got the congressional honor from Laura Bush. Like she's super amazing, so no wonder she's dating the prime minister's son. But I was there with the prime minister while they're having these summits, which is, they had a summit for the developing countries while I was there, where all of the leaders of the developing countries come together and discuss their current issues, right? Because oftentimes like the UN would want to come in and help those kind of things, but they have their own way because the problems that they face are different than the problems that we face. So it was just like an amazing experience, really getting to learn how to surf. I got to model in a fashion show. I got to dive with sharks. Like it was just amazing, truly.
Wow.
And
sounds fun.
I know, it was so much fun. And I made one promise to my family that I wouldn't leave on the boat with a stranger. So there were actually opportunities, but I did get picked up on a yacht to work on a yacht as a stewardess. And that's how I ended up doing yachting.
Wow.
Yeah, I was waitressing at a little place called Cardo's in Fiji, if you've been to Port Deneral. And I just got picked up, essentially. They're like, hey, we need a waitress basically on our yacht. Could you come aboard? And so I had an interview and they had me day work for a day, which means going in and cleaning and seeing how well you take direction. And then I was on this boat.
That is really fun. So the boat leads to travel. The travel leads to meditation. Bridge that gap for me a little bit.
So meditation is actually like where, especially at this point, I'm finding my stability. It's so getting into yachting is quite difficult. You're working 14-hour days and it's all service. And I had come from waking up whenever I wanted to, you know, surfing or just enjoying the day. And then I would work at night at the restaurant. So coming into this atmosphere where I have to live and work with all of the same people and I can't choose what I want to eat, it was really difficult. And meditation was what helped me to stay centered and stay focused on the positive, right? Mm-hmm. So meditation has allowed me to show up happy. You know, that's what it's all about, how you show up in life, right? And if you can find a place and create a place for yourself where you're always able to access that joy or that appreciation for the present moment, or direct your focus wherever it needs to be in that time, that's the value of it, right? Like, you can really excel at whatever you want to do if you can truly be present with what you're doing.
Yeah, I would say so many people with the power of distraction, right? Like, we're such a distracted society. You know, if you think about 100 to 200 years ago, or even those kind of remote places in the world where cell phones still aren't everything, there is a piece involved in that, of just being where you are in that moment of, you know, I even just had an experience yesterday where I took a total self-care day. I took a bath in the middle of the afternoon. It was like holidays are over, read a book, listened to my music. And I was like, oh my God, I've been going so fast. I need to hit the brakes, right? Like, if I keep going this fast, I'm going to go this fast into a wall. So
yeah,
having these kinds of practices, and, you know, all too often, I think meditation, a lot of people, it's a common word, but I don't necessarily know that people really recognize like what it is and the value. And I think it's kind of thrown around with kind of these other buzzwords. So mm-hmm. if you could go a little bit deeper into kind of what meditation is, what it isn't, and, you know, what are the benefits?
Yeah, well, what is meditation, right? It's, to me, it's a practice of focusing your mind. And there's a lot of different ways that you can do that. And you're probably already doing it, you know, when you're washing the dishes. A lot of people find that meditative because you are just simply focused on one thing and you're doing that one thing. And so what meditation is like intentful focus. That's the best way that I think I can describe it. And how can you practice it? By intentfully setting aside time to direct your focus on a certain thing. Now, there are many ways to do that, right? You could focus on your breathing. You could focus on being unattached to your thoughts and observing them. That's called mindfulness meditation, where we observe our thoughts as they come through, or any sensation. There's really lots of different ways that you can practice meditation. And what I would say it is not is doing a whole bunch of different things at the same time without truly being present with one of them.
Oh, I like it. So it's really kind of narrowing that down, that instead of the diffuse focus, right? Like what most of us are doing, that tendency to try to multitask, even though the science is out that there's no such thing. we just do a whole bunch of things poorly instead of one thing well. So you're really kind of saying like narrowing that focus, bringing it in, and whatever you're doing, bringing the intention of doing it. And you know, it's funny you said the dishes. I have heard so many people say they find it calming and soothing.
Yeah.
they're like, I like the soapy suds. I like the smell. I like the warm water. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm not a fan of dishes myself, but if you like dishes and that works for you, do dishes. So that intention with the focus doesn't necessarily have to be, I mean, something you're doing with your eyes closed. You know, Eat, Pray, Love has like the best, I think some of the funniest meditation, you know, commentary where she's just sitting there and it's like the fly gets her. And then she's sitting there and she hears the clock ticking. And, you know, and then it's like every intrusive thought you ever had wants to come up, and then the to-do list. And sometimes meditation can feel like a task in itself, because it's not necessarily defined in a way of there's so many different ways to be focused and mindful that you're going to get those benefits. Would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. Because, you know, you think of, like, when people think of meditation, they think of perhaps the top meditators, monks, perhaps in the Himalayas, where they're sitting peacefully for hours and people try to do it for 5 minutes and they're like, ah, I can't empty my mind. Well, you're not trying to empty your mind. You're simply trying to relax yourself and detach from the thoughts that you're having so you can simply observe and be as you are. And I think, yeah, letting go of those attachments that you have to your thoughts or your feelings and maybe writing them down, they really, really do make a difference in how you see the world and how you respond to the world and your perspective of the world, and the list goes on, right?
Mm-hmm. So if you've never done it before, but you've heard about it or thought about it, what would you kind of suggest or recommend?
I recommend that people start with setting aside some time, however much they want to give. If they want to give 5 minutes, I will still do so much for them, or 15, and finding a place that's comfortable for you so that you're less prone to have distractions of whatever sort they may be. And I would say using a guided meditation. So downloading an app like Insight Timer is my favorite, or Headspace, or Calm. There's so many options like that, that you can find something that resonates with you. But truly it is just setting aside some of that time. And if you can just sit and breathe for those 5 minutes, even just try to do that. If you're trying, then you are making an action to the desired results that you want. And when you keep showing up, it will get easier and you will notice benefits.
It's funny you mentioned Insight Timer. That's my favorite too.
It's so good.
It's so good.
I love that you love that too.
Oh yeah. Insight Timer is how I go to bed every night. That is my go-to. And now they just added this. They have a mood tracker on there. So, you know, when you click in, it'll ask you what your mood is, which I actually use a different mood tracker. So I like that that's all in one now as well. To really start to track, right? So data is important too. So let's say, like I said yesterday, the holidays did their number on me. I mean, I was stressed out for at least 10 days, which is pretty rare for me. I don't typically run very high stress because I have, you know, good self practices, but man, it was like everything from every angle. And I was just like, I am done. Hit my wall. I quit. I'm just taking care of myself today, shutting down. And really kind of looking at, if you don't have a lot of personal awareness, if you're not aware that you accumulate stress and how you accumulate stress, and you're also not aware of how you dump the cup, I like to call it, then you're probably accumulating all the time and not having practices to eliminate. And so you're going to end up tense, stressed, upset, irritated, agitated, you know, depressed, anxious, all those things. They're kind of an accumulation process for a lot of people. So you know, the mood tracker, I think, adds that piece of data of, okay, when I first started, I was agitated every day. And 30 days later, I'm only semi-agitated every day, you know, and maybe I even had a good couple days in there or something like that. So I think adding that's kind of a cool element to that. But over time, so let's say our listeners, I know, you know, you're a practitioner of meditation, right? You're trained in this. So in the beginning, just like anything else, it's probably awkward, hard, you think you're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. But later, what can people kind of expect, let's say 15 days down the road? Or what do you really kind of recommend for, I just want to start, I want to do it long enough to get an experience, to have an experience, and then decide, you know, if 5 minutes, 15, 30, what's really best for me, if it works for me, those kinds of things.
Yeah, so I would say 3 weeks. 3 weeks is the amount of time that it takes for you to change a behavior and for your body to adjust as well. So I really suggest trying anything for 3 weeks, and you'll notice improved mood, improved sleep. And I think those are things that you can count on, truly.
And is there a time of day that you specifically recommend? Like for myself, I'll kind of share my practice. So I usually go to sleep to meditation. So I get like real comfortable and that's how I go to sleep. And then in the mornings when I'm really on point and it's not super cold outside and I don't want to stay in my bed longer, I usually have a practice in the morning. And the morning practice isn't necessarily just meditating. I'll do a reading, I'll do a journaling, I'll pull a card. I'll just kind of sit with that, right? And kind of plan my day, kind of, you know, what am I doing today? And I have this mindset journal that I use that kind of helps me go, who do you need to be today? You know, who needs you on your A game? What happens if something trips you up? You know, what are your goals? What are the things you have to do today? What are the things that you'd like to do today, but could wait for tomorrow? Things like that of just really getting your mind right. You know, getting centered, getting prepared for the day, bringing it on, getting kind of motivated and excited about it, but also like that grounding. So for meditation, for me, is very grounding. And I think it's different for everyone, but I feel like when I'm getting way too like big, that's what helps me like, hey, put 2 feet on the ground, like zap, you know, you're going to get messy here if you don't calm down. So maybe you could kind of explain some of your practices and things that work for you and give a little variety.
Yeah. So for anyone who's starting out, I would suggest trying all of the different things, you know, because there's really, as you spoke about too, there's benefits from trying it at different times of the day. So when I practice in the morning, which is usually when I like to practice, it sets your tone for the day. I feel like I enter the day very clear-minded and very focused. When I practice in the middle of the day, it's usually I'll do a yoga nidra and I'll do it about 20 minutes long. And that's literally you're laying down in a comfortable position and it leads you into your subconscious, and you'll have like a little journal and take notes and stuff of the things that you dreamt of or experienced throughout it. And that's when I feel like I need some insight, I like to do that. And I also have done it at night to help myself fall asleep. But that is like what I'll do if I can't sleep, because I actually got in the habit of doing that. And then I couldn't fall asleep without it. And then I was like, yeah, I was like, okay. Because it's so nice. It's so nice to fall to sleep too. It really is.
It is. Yeah. I've definitely trained my brain for that. And everyone, like if I'm ever traveling and I'm sharing a hotel room, I'm like, okay, here's the surprise. Like I know. And they're like, I can't sleep with this. And I'm like, it's the only way I can. So compromise. But you're right. That was a really good point to bring up, because I'm in camp too on that one.
But it works. That's a thing, right? Like that's the beautiful thing about it. And so many people have trouble falling asleep, and that is such a great free resource that you can use, and it'll make you feel better. I'm just like such a huge advocate for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that, you know, on kind of more of the, you know, Western science side, that this is a very ancient practice, right? Thousands of years old, but it's kind of finally coming around to Western of the benefits. And I know that when they're hooking people up to like EKGs and are doing heart monitoring and breathing and stress hormones, and it's got nothing but benefits.
Yeah.
I don't think they found one single negative, but they found many, many documented, science supported cases of how this helps lower blood pressure. Like you said, helps with sleep, helps with stress. I really like it for emotional regulation. You know, being a therapist, I'm often telling people, hey, take 5 minutes and be like, when you're feeling really emotional or, you know, high stress or in your anger, whatever kind of high feelings that you're in that you aren't particularly welcome or pleasant, take 5 to 15 before you do anything. Do not respond in that state, right? Give, like you said, go ahead and give your central nervous system a chance to calm, clear the mind, you know, get rid of the cortisol that's flooding the brain, that's limiting your thinking ability and, you know, your ability to react rationally, and center. Because from that place, you're going to make a powerful decision. From an emotional place, you're going to usually make one you regret. And then there's a lot of unnecessary work that needs to be done after, if you can fix it at all, right? So many of our emotional decisions are like, oh, I probably shouldn't have done that. And now I don't know how to fix it. So, you know, meditation is such a cool time out, you know, for adults, but we do it on purpose, not like children.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. So when I was in high school, so my real dad, who, this is a really great story, we're talking and stuff now, but he wasn't in my life since I was 8. He was homeless and had been addicted to drugs. And then the household itself, there was abuse and it was quite toxic. And then when I was 14, you could say, because of the background that I had like issues, dad issues, I guess you could say. And I was raped. It was statutory rape. And then I was raped again when I was 17. And so I went to counseling and there's, you know, it was hard. It was so hard, but I can see how the things that happened to me were truly generated by the preconceived beliefs that I had been brought up with and the beliefs that I thought my environment supported. You know what I mean? And meditation helped me to come out of that and see things differently. And that is why I want to teach youth meditation. Like, I truly believe it's like an incredible resource. And if I had had this, you know, when I was growing up, like I know I would have done greater things sooner. And that's the idea, right?
I love that. Yeah. And meditation for trauma release and trauma work is, yeah, you nailed it. I mean, you named it. You have a personal experience of that and giving those tools to our children. So the things that happen to us, in other words, don't stick. That's one of the ways I like to put it. You know,
yeah.
It's bad things happen to all people. There's no such thing as the good or the bad or that you deserve to don't, but really, truly, you know, at some point in your life, you're going to experience something that you didn't deserve, and being able to unstick it before it gets stuck, letting it not mean something about you and the people that perpetrated and did the awful things, letting them own that's theirs. That's what they did, you know, and you getting to do that healing for yourself. I think that's a beautiful way of using this too. And oh my God, anybody that wants to work with youth and like penetrate that veil and help, you know, our younger kids have the skills that we didn't have and the knowledge we didn't know and give them the tools to just really, like you said, exceed what even the greatest that we can be. If we had the tools 10 to 15 years earlier, we know that would have completely compounded what we could do in our adult lives, right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
What an awesome mission and purpose. Like, thank you so much for all of that work and that genuine, authentic, and deep sharing. That was very personal. Thank you for sharing all of that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So for my listeners that want to know more, where can they find you?
Well, I have a website, www.walkyria whitlock.com. And from there, you can find links to every other thing that I'm involved in. So, and I'm working on my blog post now. I'm more focused on sharing stuff that way. So in the future, you'll have some of that coming up.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being a guest on the show. I loved all the information that you shared today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I wish you so much luck on your journey of sharing meditation with kids and anyone you come in contact with. I think that's a beautiful mission and it will in fact make the world a better place.
Thank you so much, Christine, for having me. Seriously, it's been a pleasure. So thank you.
Of course. This has been Humanity Meets Business, Business Therapy with Christine Salvo, licensed marriage and family therapist, advanced certified mediator, and master practitioner of NLP and hypnosis. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day. Oh yeah. And maybe try to take 5 to 10 minutes to meditate today. Give it a shot. Thank you. Bye.